Strata was formed probably in 2011. I was living in Brisbane at that time and sort of hanging out with kind of young art crowd. I wasn't doing art or performance at that stage, but one of my friends had a little show in his house called The Food Show, and I just wanted to be part of it, and I just didn't know what else to do, so I was like, why don't I just do a food demonstration and do it in drag? And Rado was born. It went out really well. It was hilarious. It was a great way of telling a story while cooking at the same time, and that's how Rado was born.
And the name itself, Radha, is a Hindu goddess, am I right?
Radha is actually the name of a Hindu god's wife or his number one girlfriend. So Lord Krishna, I think a lot of people know the blue god. He's, according to me anyway, he's the campus god of all. And he's always surrounded by a group of gopis, a group of girls, his girlfriends. And one of them was his best. And my story is he's a gay man and Radha's his fag hag / beard. That's why I've got a beard, and that's why I go by the name Radha as well.
So it's almost a combination of the two of them.
Yeah.
You mentioned as well before Brisbane, so you actually have quite an interesting educational background, I guess, blending science, and up in Brisbane, I think you were doing design. Those two things have any sort of influence on Radha and the work that you do now?
Yeah. Well, I did biomedical science at first and then interior design after that. And I guess Radha is my way of trying to bring both of it together. So I guess there's a lot of science in food. And I do cook a lot, and there's a lot of pickling and things, and there's science in that. And then there's design. So I was always obsessed with how people function in spaces and things. So I'm trying to bring both of them together. So building a set, performing in it, sort of, trying to direct the crowd in a certain way. I'm trying to, essentially trying to bring both of them together.
And when we do see you as Radha and performing and preparing food, who are you preparing that food for?
The audience. So it's always live performance, and it's always with a crowd of people, depending on who it is, and everyone gets to try the food. And I guess my main idea is like, food is the easiest common denominator. Like, everyone eats. Everyone knows food. Anyone gets hungry, and like, that's an easy icebreaker, and it's an easy way to get through to someone. And so through food, I tell stories of my family, recipes that I've inherited through, various ways of trying to get myself into the kitchen that was mainly a women's territory in my Indian background, and trying to get through the kitchen getting recipes, but also family history and sort of how everyone got to. So I'm originally from Singapore as well. So it's just kind of learning how everyone got to Singapore and, the different family members and stories that came with recipes as well. So my mom has a Persian godmother. So we've got some Persian recipes in our family's cooking and things. So yeah, that's what happens in my shows, I guess.
And is this sort of through interactions that happen naturally with the audience, or do you have some sort of idea in mind of what you want to say before the performance begins?
I usually have a rough idea of I'll pick the recipe, and then I'll have a rough idea of what the story is I'm going to tell. But it's always free-forming. Like, I don't rehearse usually. I probably should change that. I probably should rehearse. but for me, that's what performance art is. It's live, and you have to take into account that people are there and you're interacting with them. So I always like to, have a question and answer segment or interact and get people involved in some way. Either they assist me in doing something or just banter, and just a way of connecting through the crowd. And I always need to do that to do a good performance. Is, once you get people to like you, it's easy to deliver something, I find. So yeah.
And so you were saying some of kind of like the recipes that you do prepare have been passed on down to you. What do you typically prepare? And then what is your setup? Like, I imagine if you're doing a performance piece, having a gas lit stove might be a bit difficult to navigate around.
sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I love gas stoves, and that's really what I love cooking on. But health and safety and all these things, use electric cooktop. But it depends. I mean, I don't always perform in art gallery situations. So when it's, underground parties and kind of warehouse parties and that sort of scene, I can use a portable gas stove. So that's quite cool. I haven't burned anything down yet. besides myself a little bit. No, I haven't. I have cut myself once before. But yeah, the setup usually has a stove. It has my favorite blender called Preeti. It's this Indian brand that my mom bought back from India for me. Yeah, a big knife. I always carry a big knife. I love big knives. I'm a size queen. No. For me, I think the kitchen, like, it's a really powerful place, and it's a very powerful place for you know, it's usually reserved for the women in the family, but it's also the most powerful place in the house. That's where all the sharpest knives are. That's where all the big knives are. So I'm sort of kind of trying to bring that on, but doing it in a glamorous way in 6-inch heels and a really tight dress.
I wanted to ask about the inspiration from the clothing as well. So from what I can gather at the moment, your family is pretty supportive of you performing as Radha?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Well, my extended family is. My cousins and uncles and people I thought wouldn't want to hear about it are super interested in it and super supportive. But my parents, I guess because I understand why. They've put me through university. I've got 2 degrees. And all I do is do drag. I mean, that's what they see it as. But I tell them how important it is. And it's yeah. So they're slowly coming around. My mom still prays that I get an 8-to-5 job working for someone. She doesn't quite understand the concept of being an artist or running your own business. But yeah, they'll come around. I mean, most of my performances are stories of them. So yeah, it's sort of interesting how they don't quite approve of it, but at the same time, my work is solely about them.
And what stories?
Oh god, there's so many. My family's batshit crazy. I did a work in Brisbane at the IMA earlier this year about the wedding banquet, and a sort of reference stories about my sister's wedding, which was a whole drama to get to happen. There was stories of black magic, you know, she's been put under a spell by her partner's family. You know, there's all this drama, but then also the weddings, the wedding industry is, you know, super popular, like gay men everywhere. But in Singapore, they're all kind of in the closet. So they're gay married men, but no one knows. So there's lots of, you know, secret gay uncle stories that I have, you know, catching one of them in the toilets, cruising. Yeah, so lots of that kind of stories.
And for the divine game, you'll be pickling limes and mangoes. Where's this recipe from?
So pickling limes is through my aunt, my oldest aunt, my mum's oldest sister. I'm actually changing the recipe. I'm making a different kind of pickle for this show. I'm making an achar, which is a sort of Malaysian-inspired dish, and my aunt also has a really good recipe for it, and it's pickling cucumber, carrots, and pineapple. So sort of kind of fresher, summery pickle vibe, with lots of chili as well and garlic. So you don't want to get near me after I've had some. But yeah, so that's the recipe for my mum's older sister. My mum's mum passed away when she was quite young. So the role of being the mother was taken over by her older sister as well as a godmother. So a lot of the recipes are with her. And I've somehow managed to convince her to give me the recipes because she's realized that none of the grandkids can actually cook or are interested in it. So I've gained her trust. I had to spend a day chopping onions in her house, in her kitchen, to pass master, and then I got recipes, yeah.
I feel like that's a good initiation process, though.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you had to cut them in exactly the same size. Anyway, yeah.
How do you go about food preparation when you're wearing 6-inch heels? Because, like, I've done drag a very small handful of times, and even just trying to get myself to stand up, let alone cook a meal, like, it's not the easiest task.
It's not easy, but look, I enjoy it. I think it's a whole endurance thing. So when I do shows like this in an art gallery, so for this exhibition at Underbelly, I'm doing a work called The Divine Game in Tamil. It's called Thiru Vilayadu. It's based on a 1965 Tamil cinema movie that is a devotional film. So it portrays stories of Hinduism. Where was I going with this? Yes, so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to tell stories of the religion as well as cook at the same time. I enjoy it. I enjoy I do it for long periods of time. So I'm going to do it for 2 whole days. I'll perform 3 times a day, but I will be in the space for the duration of both the days in drag, preparing and cooking. So a lot of my work deals with the idea of labor. And in my family, when they do cook, you know, they cook for 100 people and they spend like a day before, and it's this whole laborious process. I'm trying to kind of, I guess, pay my respects to them, but at the same time, kind of bring it to light. And yeah, sort of abuse myself as well, I guess. I enjoy pain. I mean, my calves look great.
So you're just saying that your family kind of cooks to, well, I guess, to cater for 100 people. So whilst you are performing, do you kind of have a maximum? You prepare so much as to encourage people to come eat, but then you're like, hey, there's not enough left for everybody.
Not really. I just do how much I can in that period of time. And I guess I don't cook ready-to-eat meals. It's sort of pickling sort of stuff. So there's, I sort of look at it as like archiving. So I'm cooking, but I'm telling you a story at the same time, and the story goes into this bottle. So I'll have like a number of bottles prepared over the weekend. But also it's like you can't quite eat it yet. So it's, here's this thing that you've seen me prepare. It comes with all these stories, but it's not an instant take-home gift. You've got to wait another 4 weeks or something before you have some. I mean, some of it, sometimes you can try it immediately, but not a lot of people come and grab it. So, yeah, I mean, when I do cook, when I'm out of drag, I do tend to go like crazy and cook like 18 different dishes and cater for like 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy that a lot.
And one last thing I wanted to touch on was this idea of masculinity and femininity. I think we've mentioned a few times that traditionally the kitchen in Western and in Eastern cultures has been seen as the woman's domain. But in more modern society, it's obviously a shared thing, and gender sort of tends to blur lines, especially in drag performance, which you're purposefully doing, I assume. Do you play with these gender roles or try to explore this masculinity and femininity?
Yeah, I guess subtly. Well, I guess not very subtle if I've got a beard and do drag. But it's not the main focus, I guess. For me, my playing around with the whole gender role idea is the whole role of me as a male family member in my household, how I've managed to penetrate that boundary of getting into my mom's territory, and the role that she plays in the household, and how that kind of has, how I've kind of been part of that and taken that over as well. So that's the kind of role I'm playing with. So not, yeah, so in a kind of subtle way, I guess, trying to challenge that idea of, yes, it is your domain, and yes, I'm celebrating it, but at the same time, sort of sharing it and also kind of trying to pay my respects, yes. But, and I mean, in saying that as well, in my family, like I said, the women run the kitchens now. But back when my grandfather was still alive, he used to cook for his whole village. Like, it was the men that used to do it as well. But it's sort of now become a thing where the men don't cook, the wives do.
Right.
So I'm sort of kind of bringing that back again and bringing up the memories, which I guess is also why my mum's sister is quite happy to teach me, because my grandfather used to cook as well.